Hello, welcome to Thoughts from the Psalms, a series of meditations from the great hymn book of the Bible. In this series, we're looking at Psalms 1 to 12. I'm David Friary.
Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all round. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek, you break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord, your blessing be on your people.
We have seen in the previous programmes that Psalms 1 and 2 form the gateway to the Book of Psalms. Psalm 1 centres on the law and Psalm 2 on the Messiah. Now we come to Psalm 3, which is both the first psalm attributed to David as the author and also the first psalm with a title. The title, A Psalm of David When He Fled From Absalom His Son, sets it in a particular occasion in his life. David had been king for many years when his son led a rebellion against him. He drew a number of followers to himself, even from David's own household, and tried to usurp the kingship, causing David and his court to flee Jerusalem. You can read this story in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Psalm 3, and indeed the Psalms generally, speak at three levels. These are David's situation as seen in the historic context of the psalm, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the subject of the Psalms, and indeed of the whole of Scripture, and thirdly, it can be applied to each of our daily lives today. So, as we look at David's situation, we will see also how it points to Christ, and how it has parallels and implications for Christians today. While Psalm 2 speaks of how those who plot against God's anointed, God's Messiah, will fail, Psalm 3 grounds this truth in history. We see David's faith focus ultimately on his Lord, whose name and actions in this psalm will be personified in Christ. We can analyse this psalm in terms of verses 1 to 2, what David sees, verses 3 to 6, what David believes, and verses 7 to 8, what David prays for. And in so doing, we will also reference Christ, and also his people even today. Firstly then, what David sees, verses 1 and 2. David sees his foes rising against him in verse 1, and they are saying of his soul that there is no salvation for him in God, verse 2. Three times he uses the word many, many foes, many rising against him, and many attacking him spiritually and questioning his faith in God. Here, as generally in the Old Testament, salvation refers to both physical and spiritual deliverance from danger. David's enemies are taunting him that his sins are so bad that God cannot save him. Yes, it is a desperate situation he feels around him as he sees his control of his kingdom being snatched from him. This then is a lament of David. A lament in the book of Psalms is a type of psalm that expresses grief, confusion, anger and despair while seeking God's comfort and deliverance. It is a cry to God in times of deep despair or distress. About one third of the psalms have an element of lament. Some are centred around a communal lament, whilst others are personal. Psalm 3 is a personal lament of David. It is his cry to God for help. Are there not times when we too feel like lamenting? Things seem to be going horribly wrong. To what or rather to whom can we turn? Well, as we see, the one on whom David calls, surely there is the answer. For yet in this psalm of lament there is still hope. Look at verses 3 to 6, where we see what David believes. Here we see how David looks to God. Why? Because he believes in the saving power of God. He knows that he serves a king who is greater than him, and in whom he trusts. This king is his Lord. Psalm 3 here exemplifies saving faith. In the face of despair, he acknowledges God as his shield, his glory, the one who lifts David's head in confidence. He is mindful of how God has cared for him in the past and how he has been able to sleep peacefully in the face of danger. These past experiences of protection give him confidence for the future. No wonder he can say in verse 6, I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. And we too can be liberated from the fear of those enemies who still surround us today. In verse 4, David acknowledges how God has answered him from his holy hill. The initial context is of Mount Zion in Jerusalem, where God maintained his presence and accepted the sacrifices offered to him in the temple. It's no coincidence, though, that it was on a hill there in Jerusalem that God himself provided the ultimate and perfect sacrifice of his Son on Mount Calvary, who died to bear the sins of his people. The ultimate defeat of David's foes, achieved by the cross and to be finally complete in the day of judgment, also signifies the place where the victory of every believer is secured. As David cries out aloud to the Lord, he is a model of genuine faith when in dire straits. He is not afraid of hiding his grief and despair in secret, and his laments may cause others to express their own pains too. And that includes us expressing our pains. Finally then, in verses 7 to 8, what David prays for. We have already witnessed David's confidence in God, and so he is emboldened for his future. His prayer in verse 7, where he calls on the Lord to arise and save him, should therefore come as no surprise. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Save in verse 7 and salvation in verse 8, look back to the taunt in verse 2. It is the Lord who gives or withholds as he sees fit. Our destiny is ultimately not at the whim of our enemies. To break the teeth of the wicked is a figurative expression of the enemy being rendered powerless. It's not that we are to sit back and do nothing. We see in the history of King David how he went out and fought his battles. But everything we do is to be done in the strength of and with faith in the power of God. We, like King David, are to look to God for deliverance. David's psalm then finishes on a positive note of blessing, that whilst he prays for the defeat of his enemies, for the friends of God he prays, your blessing be on your people. And indeed, that salvation is also open to any of God's enemies who will repent and turn to him as Saviour. This is the power of Calvary. This is the power of the cross.
Oh Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise against me? How many say of me that God will not deliver him? But you are a shield around me, Lord, my glorious one, who lifts up my head to the Lord. I cry aloud, and from this holy hill he answers me. You are a shield around me, Lord, my glorious one, who lifts up my head to the Lord. I cry aloud, and from this and I sleep. But I wake again, sustained by the Lord. I will not fear 10,000 men drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord.
Arise, O Lord.
Deliver me. For I have seen you deal with your enemies. From the Lord.
From the Lord.
Deliverance comes. May your blessing be on all your people. You are a shield around me, Lord, my glorious one, who lifts up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and from this holy hill he answers me. I lie down and I sleep, but I wake again, sustained by the Lord. I will not fear 10,000 men drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord.
Arise, O Lord.
For I have seen you deal with your enemies. From the Lord,
from the Lord,
deliverance comes. May your blessing be on all your people. May your blessing be on all your people. May your blessing be.
If you wish to discuss anything in this programme with me, David Friary, please contact me via our studio. Please join us next time for further thoughts from the Psalms.